Thanks for listening to the podcast. Stay connected on Facebook/ IFBB Ben PAK fan page, on Twitter at IFBB Ben PAK, and of course, BenPakulski.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. Ben Pakulski and the legend himself, Mark Coles. We are here with a podcast, and we're going to do a dual podcast today. So we're going to combine the Muscle Expert podcast with the Mark Coles Physique Coach podcast. So we are here in Tampa, Florida. Mark's here visiting for a month training at my new MI40 gym. We've been smashing some great workouts, but more importantly, we've been spending a lot of time exploring optimal execution, exploring optimal body composition methodology, and exploring some functional medicine application and understanding some really unique concepts, and kind of decided it might be a crime, we might get in trouble and yelled at if we don't put some of this stuff out to the public. So lucky us, lucky you, Mark is obliged to do some podcasts. So we're going to have a conversation today. We decided the first topic of discussion is going to be the application of exercise execution and fat loss. Something a lot of people don't think about. And I think, you know, the more Mark and I kind of dive deep in understanding improving body composition, we realize we have a very similar linear view when it comes to stuff like this. So we thought we'd share it. And we thought, both of us have been pretty successful with transforming our own bodies, pretty successful with transforming other people's bodies. So when you dig deeper and you have an intelligent conversation about it, you realize there's massive application in exercise execution and how important it is to really execute movements properly and use muscles effectively and use muscles properly. So, Mark, give a little intro on what you want to talk about and how you feel about the subject, and then we'll go from there. So Ben and I, over the last few weeks, have had many opportunities to discuss all sorts of topics around fat loss and building muscle. And as Ben just said, you know, this really kept springing up. The idea that executing exercises is hugely advantageous. The ability to exercise efficiently is hugely advantageous when it comes to fat loss. And my thoughts on the subject are kind of looking at the standard trainer, the standard coach, and you know, we work with a lot of people new to fat loss, and whether or not getting into the nitty-gritty of educating people how to contract, how to people to understand tension, how to actually teach people how to use their muscles effectively is important, because there's a lot of people out there, trainers specifically, who think that it's just kind of important for people to just exercise, for people to be in the gym. And from my own experience, I've seen this many, many times that months down the line, trainers are then realizing that their clients aren't progressing. They're not building any muscle. They're not looking any different. And they're taking three or four or five different steps back to try and re-educate their clients in the areas that they've missed. So from my perspective, I think it's hugely beneficial to start the fat loss process with educating people how to exercise effectively and how to contract muscle.
I've heard people say time and time again, numerous trainers just kind of hear casually around the gym, we're just going to get in today and burn some calories. And what the hell does that mean? And how exactly do you do that? Does that mean you jump on the step mill and just move? Well, what actually causes calorie burning? If you sit back and you kind of reduce that statement, you go, what causes calorie burning? Well, increased heart rate causes calorie burning. But what causes increased heart rate? Muscular contraction. So, interesting thought, right? So how do we actually increase calorie burning? How do we increase caloric output? Contract muscles. We don't move weight. We engage muscles, and we make them work hard. We make effort. We engage with effort, and we try to make muscles work as hard as possible. So the way to do that is with effective execution and intelligent execution. And this is what I teach with muscle building. So but this is a cool area of discussion with Mark, because Mark's obviously a transformation expert specializing in fat loss and body composition improvement. And with myself, I don't ever claim to be a body transformation expert. I just claim to be someone who can teach you an intelligent way to build weak body parts, to build every body part, more effectively build muscle. You know, most men, my demographic is obviously men, want to build muscle. So getting your head around the idea that it's never about moving weight if transformation is your goal. It's always about muscular contraction. Yes, the amount of weight can play a role. We don't ever want it to be easy, but we also need to drill in effective movement patterns first. So the example Mark and I were talking about just prior to starting this call was we have a great friend of ours, Jill Bennett, who's also the head trainer and general manager of my gym, taking this gentleman through, I think he's been working with him for just under 2 months now, about 7 weeks. And the transformation is absolutely ludicrous. The guy's probably put on close to 25 pounds, like crazy. I mean, I'm making those numbers up, but it looks like it's about 25 pounds. I guess I would venture to say it's at least 20. And the body transformation has been massive. And now, is it just getting there using more and more and more weight? Like a lot of people preach, it's progressive overload. No. Mark, what does it look like when, we're not going to mention the guy's name out of respect for him, but Joe, what does it look like when Joe's in there training his client? Now, let's mention the client's probably 28, 30 years old, came to Joe relatively skinny, had trained before, but probably not very effective. We didn't have a whole lot of muscle. Mark, what does it look like when Joe trains him? Is it about progressive overload? What does it look like now?
Well, first of all, it looks completely opposite to what you see 85% of trainers doing in gyms nowadays. This guy is not being thrashed through a workout. This guy is actually being intelligently educated about how to maximally recruit muscle, how to contract muscle, with minimal recruitment of other muscles, especially in the isolated movement patterns, such as, for example, the lateral raise, rear delt fly. The attention to detail that I've witnessed while I've been here really reconfirmed half the reason why Ben and I are doing this podcast today, what we think trainers really should be doing. And what you see with Joe when he's coaching his client is very, very minimal movements, but hugely intense focus on trying to train the muscle in question. And that's the biggest thing that you can take from watching Joe train his client.
Yeah, effectively, there's zero inertia. And this is effectively how I teach a primer phase for someone. If anyone has ever followed any of my stuff, I usually will include a primer phase in every program. And the idea of the primer phase is eliminate inertia, eliminate extraneous body movement, and teach your body how to isolate. What does isolation mean? It means every muscle in your body is contracted in an isometric. So you don't move except for one, maybe two joints. It's a very, very specific movement pattern. So what's that doing? It's isolating one particular muscle. You're teaching one muscle group how to contract and grow. And Mark and I also had a really cool thought prior to getting on this call. How do you start a beginner or someone looking to improve their body composition? Most coaches are going to get into the idea of, well, let's do large movements. Let's do compound movements.
And why is that? Why would they be doing
that? You tell me, Mark. You run with that because that's obviously we both have our opinion, but you go ahead and you know, why do they do it, and what do you think your opinion is?
Okay, so big body part, big movements such as the squat and the deadlift. They're done because people think they burn more calories. They're done because people think that they require more muscles. There's more muscles involved in the
movement. Which they theoretically may.
But, correct. But, however, let's use the example of somebody who has an inability to recruit the muscles individually.
Any muscle.
And, you know, I see this time and time again. And I've been on courses all over the last 15 years where, you know, I've learned different ways of doing things. And one thing that kind of makes Ben and I individually in our own thought processes is purely because we challenge the norm. And, you know, one of the most interesting things for me is looking at things like the squat and the deadlift over the years, thinking this might be an effective exercise if all the muscles that we're thinking about.
It's effective for someone, it's not effective for everyone.
So let's look at the squat. Can somebody recruit their glutes? Can somebody recruit their quads properly? Can somebody recruit their hamstrings properly? Can somebody keep their spine stable? Can somebody, you know, maximally keep an extended position? Well, the answer is in many cases no. So we start to then break that down to maybe something like a lunge or a split squat, and we go, well, that's the easiest progression to that. Well, Ben and I had a really interesting discussion before we came on the podcast, and we thought, well, you know, it's something that I've been, you know, toying with for the last 6 months. What if you actually broke that beginner down right back to the leg extension, right back to lateral abduction for the glutes, a glute bridge, and really started teaching these people how to individually, as Ben just said, with no inertia, train and learn how to maximally contract those muscles independently, and then at a later stage bring them together. Now, this might probably break the standard norm for most personal trainers, because are you actually using as much muscle when you're doing the leg extension as compared to the squat? Well, our workouts while we've been here, for example, just using the leg extension in isolation, if you do it right, if you maximally contract your quads through the full range of movement using the machine correctly, and using it as it's set up and designed to do for you, sure you are, but you're going to learn how to train that muscle in isolation. And this is something that a lot of your programs do, Ben, especially your primatizers.
Yeah, man, I absolutely love the idea of differentiating movements at particular joints. You know, Mark and I were in the gym late last night training shoulders. I'm really diving deep on the discussion about differentiating glenohumeral movement from scapular movement. And if you can't do that, you have no chance in hell of developing the delts you're looking for. Same idea with differentiating the hip joint from the pelvis. If you can't differentiate movement at the hip joint and the lower back and pelvis, you don't have a chance in hell of developing glutes. So if you can take a client and step them back and regress them to the point of learning to differentiate glute contraction, quad contraction, hip flexor contraction, hamstring contraction, and all these little isolated movements, and allow their brain and the nervous system to understand differentiation of movements as opposed to one global movement, differentiating little specific movements at a joint, the likelihood of developing that muscle specifically is much greater. So if you have a huge weak body part or some type of muscular imbalance, the only chance you have of ever developing that weak body part is very specific isolation of that muscle. Otherwise, the strong muscles around it are going to take over, and the weak one that you're trying to build never worked.
So would you agree with me here, Ben, and say that a lot of fat loss coaches out there who maybe have taken somebody through a fat loss journey for 3-6 months, take their photos, and you and I, you know, we see many photos on a day-to-day basis of transformations, and there'll be a lot of coaches out there thinking, why doesn't it look the way I intended it to look?
Right.
Why does my female's glutes look just a softer version of when they came in to see me? Why does my male's client's upper chest not develop? But we trained chest really, really hard. We
just killed it.
We killed it. You know, this client was with me for 6 months.
It doesn't grow. It's a stubborn body part.
Bang. It doesn't happen. And, you know, this is something that, I'm really looking forward to kind of bringing over to the UK with, you know, the whole body transformation aspect, because too many trainers out there think that they're going to frighten their client when they talk about building muscle. Too many trainers think that they're, you know, going to frighten their client off when they try and teach them how to stimulate muscles and to develop muscle in isolated areas. But you're actually lengthening the lifespan of your client. You know, if you think about this,
right.
you know, if you take a client who is, you know, 40 years old, who's never really been in the gym, and the first thing you do is try and rush them to the squat and rush them to the deadlift, and that person trains with you for 3 months, and then at the end of it, they're on their own. What is that person going to do? They're going to keep doing the deadlift. They're going to keep doing the squat.
And get worse and worse.
With muscles that aren't actually working.
Right. Exactly.
Right? So what are you doing as a coach? As a coach, you're actually teaching faulty patterns for a lifetime.
Right.
Whereas intelligently, as we've been discussing already, if you take somebody right back to your primer phases, the re-education phases, where you're breaking muscles down into individual areas and teaching somebody how to actually articulate that movement and stimulate that muscle, later down the line, once you've brought the whole movement pattern together, you're going to do a damn better job of having all the muscles firing, and then also give somebody longevity and injury prevention, right?
Right. So someone looking to develop any body parts, let's say myself, for example, when I was a young aspiring bodybuilder, I get into a squat because everyone told me I need to squat, and had tremendous quad development almost immediately within the first 12 to 24 months. But my glutes sucked, my hamstrings sucked, and my lower back started to get really, really big and thick. Why? Because nobody ever taught me that the glutes are actually supposed to be involved in this movement. My glutes had no capacity to grow because they didn't know how. They'd never been properly innervated. So as someone who's interested in transforming a body, I've just developed this massive strength gradient between my quads and my glutes, And now for me to regress into an intelligently executed squat is extremely difficult because my squats or my quads want to dominate the movement. You almost have to now learn, now you have to unlearn the squat, try to teach your quads to do less work, try to isolate the hip movement. It becomes a more complicated process. So by stepping back two steps, teaching the quads to contract with the glutes at the same time, simultaneously doing the same amount of work relatively, create a greater opportunity for balance, but you also create a greater opportunity for more overall muscular contraction within all those muscles, right? So typically people are using 20 to 30% of the muscles. If you have something that's maybe not working effectively, it's somewhere in there. And that one, you know, as far as a body transformation perspective goes, we're trying to increase the number of muscle fibers contracting. And the only way to do that is by pinpointing a muscular contraction for any muscle. So if I want to increase my glute contraction, if I want to increase my calorie burning, the most effective way to do it is take your body from contracting 20 to 30% of the muscles to now contracting 50 to 60% by really driving in a movement pattern, really driving in the effectiveness of the nervous system, improve the nervous system. So that's your greatest margin for improvement for anyone looking to improve their body composition is take a couple steps back, learn how to isolate movements, increase the effectiveness of the contraction of that muscle, and then go back to the global movements of the squat, the deadlift, and get a greater effectiveness, a greater efficiency out of it, right?
So let's flip back a second, because we talked a little bit earlier on in our discussion about training intensity with isolated movements. And
sure.
The area I want to touch on, when people think that they've got to use more muscles to get more out of a workout for fat loss.
Right.
I'm interested to hear your thoughts on this because, you know, we've trained arms quite a few times together, mm-hmm. And they're tough. They're tough workouts.
Mm-hmm.
They're tough workouts. Why? Because we're honing in on one muscle and we're doing everything we possibly can to maximally lengthen and maximally shorten that muscle with nothing else working.
Mm-hmm.
And I would still regard that workout as a tough part of the week, you know, because we are designing the workout specifically with the intention of honing in with, like you said, no inertia on that muscle itself. And a lot of people tend to not like to do isolated exercises purely because they don't feel like they're working hard enough.
Right.
And this is from a fat loss perspective. A lot of people leave out the rear delts, the lateral raises, the bombs, the triceps, purely because they're not your big bang buck exercises.
But is there not effort in isolation? And the idea, and what's an isolation exercise? And Mr. Tom Purvis, the RTS, creator of RTS, said this to me. He said, what's an isolation exercise? Well, only one joint is moving. And why is only that one joint moving? Because every single muscle in your body is engaged. And why is every single muscle in your body engaged? Well, that's how you hold your body stable. Everything needs to be engaged in isometric. So is that maybe even more calorically demanding than doing something with terrible form? Absolutely it is. Is that more difficult than doing something with terrible form? Absolutely it is. And that's why most people can't do it, because they don't have the mental capacity to focus enough to isolate their body, to practice and practice and practice. Well, how do I actually isolate this movement? It takes time. You know, it takes effort, and most people aren't willing to go through that. And on top of that, it's difficult, right?
And also, you're also a bit of a goon if you're lifting the 2 kilos on a lateral raise, because let's be honest, what sort of weight do you see most guys being able to do on a lateral raise for the first time doing the methods that we've been talking about?
10, 15 pounds.
Pounds, exactly.
Pounds. Yeah.
Right, so it's humbling, you know, but let's remember, the lateral raise is a lateral abductor of the arm. And you're not looking at bringing in the traps. You're not looking at bringing in the knees,
right.
The hips.
Why not?
Why? Well, it's not that metabolically advantage, right? Yeah, if you throw it up and down, you're going to lose more body fat. And ultimately, this is what you see in the gym over and over and over. More weight, more weight, more weight to the lateral raise. Let's push it, let's push it. But, you know, that's not the case. So from going back to what we were talking about, the metabolic expenditure from the training sessions and how you'd actually set something up, and the industry talking very much about fat loss workouts, how do you see a fat loss workout differentiating between some of your muscle building workouts?
Interesting question. I mean, the way I guess we both briefly discussed it prior to this call was the idea that the more muscle fibers you can get to contract, the more calories you're going to be burning, bottom line, right? And if there's some level of inertia involved, then muscles aren't working, right? They're inertia is the idea of we're going to start propulsion, so we're going to start this movement or this weight in movement, in motion, and then we're going to catch it at the bottom. It's not a continuous effort thing. It's a max effort for a very short amount of time, fling it, and then catch it again. So there's actually a less amount of work being generated. So, you know, from a fat loss perspective, I'm trying to get maximum amount of effort, maximum amount of work for as long a period of time as possible, I guess, right, during a workout. So the more I can learn to effectively, aggressively contract a muscle through its entire range with effort, the more calories you're going to burn. It just makes logical sense, right? The more my muscle cells will be receptive to taking up nutrients, the more my nervous system will be taxed because it has to work harder to, one, support every other muscle in the body from not moving, two, be able to engage and contract this working muscle. I think metabolically it just has to be more demanding, but it's also mentally more demanding, and a lot of people aren't willing to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, I guarantee I can contract my muscles harder than everybody else, and that's why I have to do less overall work to get more of a metabolic response. More people are trying to do these multiple long workouts, and I guess what? If you learn how to contract the muscle really, really hard, and Mark will attest to this, since he's been here for 2 weeks, our volume is probably a lot less than what it was prior to Arnold. Than what it was at the Arnold. Mark was here for four weeks prior to the Arnold. We were doing twice as much volume, but why? Because now we're actually doing it more effectively with better equipment.
And we're looking at more output stimulus as well, because the ultimate goal from there is fat loss. You know, we're trying to get you leaner.
Right.
So one of the methodologies from a fat loss perspective is more work. You know, but more work again, still with maximal tension, no poor form.
I think we're just being really, really efficient this time around. Before, like when we get close to a contest, I kind of switch my focus from meticulous contraction to effort.
Yes.
There's still a meticulous contraction component, but I previously switched to effort, but now, well, I guess it's still effort when it's even more effort when you're isolated.
Yeah, so
sure. I mean, it's an interesting discussion, interesting perspective, but I think the greatest bang for your buck is teaching people how to squeeze a muscle. If you've ever had a muscle that you don't know how to squeeze, guess what? When you put it into a compound movement, it doesn't work. Like if you're trying to build your glutes and you say, well, someone tells you, well, you just need to squat more, you're full of shit. Because if you can't squeeze your glute in an isolation movement in its shortest position, you don't stand a chance in hell of effectively engaging it during squat. So, you know, it's kind of a backward logic, right?
So this is an interesting thing that I'm going to kind of bring up now. Is nearly every transformation we do, and you've seen this, Ben, over and over again.
Man, you're a master of your craft, and well, that's, I think, part of the reason why we've become such great friends is my level of respect for you prior to meeting you was massive, and then meeting you, it's gone even higher. So
thank you.
Yeah.
And this is the thing with body transformations that fascinates me, is how often do I look at fat loss on a chart versus muscle gain? So when I'm actually training somebody, they come to see me as a fat loss client. And a lot of my coaches that work for me back home, who I have a huge amount of respect for, they're extremely skilled guys. But we actually look at the muscle building that's going on as opposed to the fat loss that's coming off.
I say that all the time, but you can't say that to women.
You can't say that to anybody. Yeah. But do you know what? If trainers did a better job, if you studied any, if you use any form of technology to record your data on your computer, if you watch lean muscle gain for a relatively beginner to intermediate person, as opposed to analyzing about numbers down, your client will be losing body fat. Because if they're relatively new and they're doing what we've just talked about, so for the first part of this podcast, about training muscles properly, training the muscle in isolation, training the muscle with deep intention, you're going to be building muscle. And one of the biggest things for fat loss, and this is why, you know, whilst I do body, you know, look at body transformations and fat loss, people were like, why do you continually try and learn muscle building and bodybuilding and muscle building? Well, do you know what? The art of body transformations is building physique, you know, putting muscle on. And why we get on so well is, you know, Ben works with a lot of people wanting to put muscle on. And I work with a lot of people that wanted to lose fat. But guess what? The people that come to see us to lose fat actually end up with more muscle than they came. So muscle building,
you're also shaping someone's physique, right? You know, to arbitrarily get someone in shape, I say this all the time, any chimpanzee can get you in shape, or I can get anybody in shape. That's not hard.
Yeah.
To get someone actually in shape who looks good, feels good, functions well, that's hard. That's difficult. That actually takes an intelligent, you know, mindset. At least someone that makes it sustainable and makes physique improvements. You know, I can put you on 2 hours of cardio and no calories, you're going to get lean, but to shape somebody's body and make improvements in their physique and make it a long-term lasting result. That's difficult to do, man.
So I remember first meeting you, and we talked at a coffee shop here in Tampa. We had a consult, and I always ask anybody that I have a consult with, give me something that I should go away and learn. And I remember you telling me to learn RTS. And we got RTS in the gym and we studied it. And, I'm looking at my weak body parts, and there's no point in me looking at going on stage or doing a shoot for me or whatever, having a muscle that's not developed. You know, I'm not going to look the same as the last time, you know. So where am I weak? Where do I need to work on? And you've been a great help to me with this. Huge help. You're going to want to lift more weight. You're going to want to push. But if you're not actually contracting the muscle that you want to grow, you're going to be that person at the end of your transformation. You're going to be the trainer with the client at the end of their own fat loss journey, still not having built any appreciable amount of muscle. So I think really this point that we're trying to hone in on is, the art of building somebody's physique is the art of building muscle, mm-hmm. which is what we both look at. And I think a lot of trainers are fearful of talking about the word muscle to their clients,
right.
Very fearful. But, we don't have to talk about building muscle. You can articulate it in a different way. But I think a lot of people still feel that they've got to do circuit training and fun training to get the fat loss off. But, if you want to be known for anything, if you want to have any reputation for, changing somebody, you've got to look at the muscle building part of the equation.
Yeah. This is one thing that's been going through my head a lot, and I've been discussing with people and Mark as well. The idea that when anyone comes to you, Mark, what's the answer? If you go, well, what's holding you back from achieving the body of your dreams? They always say nutrition. And then you go dig a little deeper and you ask yourself, is that really the answer? Like, is it the nutrition that they're really lacking? Or is it just an intelligent, structured, properly executed workout program that gives you the actual capacity to transform your body, right? Like, truthfully, if you learn how to train hard with proper execution and a high degree of muscular engagement and contraction, your margin for error and nutrition goes through the roof, meaning you can eat a lot more junk food, you can eat a lot more calories, your body just becomes more effective and more efficient at using fuel. So is it the limiting factor? I don't know. I mean, I would argue that it's not. I would argue that the training is always the limiting factor. Most people, everyone I ask, and this is what, kind of a limiting factor in my business, is everyone you ask, you go, what are you missing? You say nutrition. I'm trying to teach exercise. So it becomes a limiting factor. If more people believe that exercise was a limiting factor, I'd be a much more successful business person. But I really believe it's a limiting factor. Nobody, 99% of people in the gym, tell me if I'm wrong. Okay, let's ask this question. What percentage of people in the gym would you say, including trainers, know they're doing in the gym as far as execution? Let's just go that far. As far as executing exercise, what percentage of people in the gym actually have a fucking clue?
That offends passion coming out, right?
Serious question.
No, it's a serious question. And do you know what? I said to my guys before I left, I said, before we come back, when I get back from Tampa, we need to go as a team to a health club. We need to go and watch what people do. And do you know the reason why? My guys are so good at what they do now, they doubt their knowledge on a day-to-day basis because they're surrounded by each other, pushing each other from a knowledge-wise, knowledge perspective. Our clients come in the gym, and one of the first things they tell us, and I'll tell you this right now, their nutrition. People ask us, what's the nutrition? Ben's just highlighted a huge, amazing point. A lot of our transformations are done so basic on the nutritional front, so basic. But you know what? Work ethic. And it's not just training hard, it's training smart. It's training with all the methodologies and understanding how to build muscle and build somebody's physique and also, teach them how to train hard. So to answer your question, Ben, sadly, I don't know whether you tell me about this country, but especially in the UK, trainers don't know how to train hard.
Not even train hard.
Smart. When we say people post a lot and say they're training hard.
And break it down even further. What percentage of people, trainers included, execute movements properly? Seriously. I make this post all the time.
That's sometimes.
I make this post all the time.
Very smart.
I would say less than 5%. Maybe because I tend to be a little more critical, but I would say less than 5%.
Okay, so let's also remember that we've done a lot of studying on building muscle. So sure. It's not us from an arrogant perspective saying,
no,
you all suck. But what we're saying is, you know, we spend a lot of time learning how the specifics of exercise execution. And trust me, you know, when I come and train with Ben, there's not a rep in a set that goes by where he doesn't, it's not picking me up. He's a good friend of mine, but he's pointing out things from a coaching perspective.
We're starting
right
to work on. Because I know where you're trying to go.
Yeah,
I know where you're trying to go.
Exactly. And yeah. that fine detail, you know, we look for with our clients on a day-to-day basis on the gym floor. You know, there's something that I always say in the gym to any client that comes in. We want to exceed your expectations. Every single time you come into my gym, and whether people think this is a sales pitch or not, it's not. Why accept average? So if you come into a gym and you want to transform your body or you want to lose a few pounds, we want to be the trainers that can exceed that expectation. But to do that, we need more advanced knowledge. And I genuinely do think that we're in a world where trainers are very happy with the amount of hours that they want to do in the gym, very happy with a certain amount of money, but they're not happy with producing excellence.
Right.
And that's what we're trying to get to.
Right. So when I say, you know, most people don't know getting in the gym, I'm also very, very aware and considerate of the application of exercise for sport. So when it comes to execution for sport, it's very different, or strength is very different from physique enhancement. So if you're trying to transform your physique, that's a very different application. So keep in mind, when I look around and I see someone, you know, trying to apply their training to sport, I don't ever claim to critique that, because there's so many applications of exercise in sport. There's millions for millions of different athletic endeavors. And those people are doing things as effectively as they can for that sport. But when it comes to looking at people's execution, when it comes specifically to improving their body, their structure, their body shape, their body parts, et cetera, that's where I'm looking at execution being so. And now when I say poorly executed, it's really just in reference to the number of extraneous movements happening, a number of extraneous muscles being used, the amount of inertia being used to actually execute movement. I don't claim to be perfect. I don't claim to be anywhere near perfect, but I'm always on a quest for perfect. And that's the difference, is I think everyone should strive for perfection, not because you ever have any chance of attaining it, but because if you strive for perfection, you will achieve greatness. And that's what Mark and I have bonded on this training topic, is the idea that we're just trying to get a little bit better so that we're better than we were yesterday. And this is interesting. You just brought up sport, because professional sport, amateur sport, a lot of people have taken straight into the deep end with snatches and squats and deadlifts being the king of the sport, and maybe unilateral training until they're strong enough. Still a lot of people, athletes that I've seen over the last few years as well, don't know how to contract muscle. They don't know how to, you know, let's look at it. You know, a lot of these athletes want to build a better body in the early part of the off season, but they don't apply bodybuilding. Right.
You know, I'm a huge believer in the early part of the off season for an athlete should look at bodybuilding and building muscle, and then transferring that into speed and movement power, strength, speed, power. So ultimately, I think, we're digressing from the area of fat loss, but
right.
I still do think it's very, very important from anyone's perspective that you learn a good phase of, you know, I found this so, so difficult, because, you know, I've been the guy in the gym thinking that, you know, just chugging weights around was the way to do for me to build my physique. But, you know, stripping it right back, there was so much muscle that I wasn't targeting around my body, and breaking it down into what we've been talking about in this podcast is what's enabled me to grow specifically for me. And this also goes to trainers as well. But if you're trying to get a client lean, we're talking about building muscle here, you know, you've got to go through the process yourself. You know, this is a thing that gripes Ben and I.
That's why you're so good at it.
Well, because you know what, you know, for me, you know, I have a business, I have a busy business, but I'm over here one month out of the year getting my body critiqued, getting my training application and technique critiqued.
Right.
And do you know what? People will say to me, why are your transformations so good? Why are your muscle building? Why are people looking so good at the end of the transformation? And I generally do think it's because of the attention to detail I place on myself. So I have excellence in my mind, and therefore when I'm trying to do a transformation, I want to look at creating excellence for that person. So
right.
We have a lot of trainers in this country, and probably your country at the same time, who don't pay enough attention into
being the best version of themselves. So they can't then transfer that to their clients. And that in itself, forget nutrition, forget training, that itself is a fat loss tip. Be good at it yourself, because you're going to carry that over to your clients, right?
Right. And there's a lot to understand when it comes to transforming someone's body from the perspective of nutrition. I don't ever claim to be an expert on nutrition. I don't claim to be an expert on supplementation, body function, functional medicine, like that. My application or my value in transforming someone's body comes from exercise. So I try to learn as much as I can about exercise. And I tend to believe that it's probably, you know, aside from function of your body, like internal function, having optimal health and function, that's probably step number one in transforming your body. And step number two becomes exercise execution. I really believe that to be true. And maybe the after that, from my perspective, is then nutrition. So, Mark, I don't want to keep on this call too long. What do you think are three practical application items that people can take away from your perspective? Three things they should look at to improve their exercise programming, their exercise selection in a workout, or maybe three tips to improve the effectiveness of their workout today to improve body composition long-term.
Well, it's very, very difficult for somebody to improve muscle control without a coach. So my first tip is to hire somebody. Hire somebody who is skilled.
Okay, now how do you? I'm just going to ask like.
So the question is going to be, how do you find?
Who do you get? Because I mean, we're saying train and stink. So other than obviously, then come to MCAM and learn from them coach. And saying, coach,
we'll talk about the topic.
Obviously. I mean, I think this is why Mark, you know, I need to make an effort to put out more online content because. Giving people an online resource is valuable, right? Obviously, so this is, I say this to everybody. I can teach you online all day, and it's never going to be as valuable as learning hands-on because your body's always looking for the path of least resistance. Your body's always looking for the easiest way out, right?
Yeah.
So unfortunately, you know, watching you teach me on a video or me teach you on a video or us teach somebody else on a video has value, but it's never as powerful as going into your coach one-on-one. So what do you look for, man, in a coach?
What do I look for in a coach? Well, I we just digress from giving those tips on helping somebody improve their body. And I'll just add to that. In terms of your tips on improving your body, finding a good coach is going to be one of them. We'll get to that in a second about how you find a good coach. The second thing I would say is, you know, you watch Ben's videos. You know, you watch videos that I put out. Ben has a huge amount of videos and programs that he puts together. But, you know, break down your body parts. You know, it's not very hard to find out what's weak.
Yeah.
You know, it's not very hard if you are somebody pretty new to this to stand still with a dumbbell and not let anything apart from your elbow joint bend and curl to realize that you're not very strong. You know, it doesn't take you a lot to very slowly put yourself in a bridge position and contract your glutes and realize that your lower back's doing most of the work in your quads instead of your glutes. So I think it's important to just break down muscle groups and
put the muscle, put any muscle into its shortest position. If you can't contract it so hard that it's uncomfortable or cramps, it's weak. So like my biceps up until 2 years ago, if you can't put it into the position that's really, really short and squeeze and squeeze and squeeze and squeeze to the point it starts to like really feel like it's knotting up, pecs, lats, quads, hamstrings, if you can't get it to contract hard, it's weak. Learn how to get strong and short position. That's phenomenal.
So if you're listening to this and you're a coach and you want to go and find somebody to learn from, if you're a day-to-day person inspired by what we've been talking about and you want to improve your ability to contract muscle or grow muscle or lose body fat, Ben and I are big believers on this. So when it comes to finding a coach, and if you're somebody on this call, you're looking just to improve your body, build muscle, lose body fat, or you're a coach who really wants to understand a little bit about what Ben and I were talking about, of course, reach out and speak to myself or my team, reach out and speak to Ben and his incredible team here in Tampa. But what I would say when it comes to choosing a coach is, you know, there's a lot of people who have got results out there. There's a lot of people who have probably got themselves in fantastic shape. And you've got to find somebody that's studied. You've got to find somebody that's actually gone out there and educated themselves, and also somebody that can explain to you
the reason why something's not firing, why a muscle's not working. An educated coach is not somebody who will train you, it's somebody who will teach you. And when I watch the coaches in Ben's gym, and you know, he came over to my gym recently, what I'm proud of, especially when I walked in Ben's gym, that was one of the first things I said to him, was I'm watching a coach. If you can spot a trainer from a coach, and I actually call all my guys at my gym coaches, don't ever book somebody, watch them for a little while, ask people questions. Watch, do they teach exercise? Now, Ben's all about teaching exercise. When you're in the gym for the first maybe month of training, you should see a lot of teaching going on. You know, you should see a lot of exercise application going on. You shouldn't just see workouts going on. And that's something that I'm really, 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 really stuck on when it comes to finding a good coach. I don't know about you, Ben, but, you know, would you give anybody any advice on finding a good coach?
So the way I break up trainers is typically the three categories, right? You have your therapists, so this is trainers. You'll have a trainer who's a therapist, who's someone who's going to come in and chat with you, who's a great socialite. That's cool, and some people like that. Not going to get a lot of results, but that's cool for some people. And then you have your drill sergeants, who don't know shit about exercise, but will put you through a hard workout and can beat you up, and that has some value in application, depending on what your goal is. And you have coaches, as Mark says, but you need to find a coach. You need to find someone who's willing to slow down, to make you realize that there's needs to be a large degree of mindfulness in your workout, attention to detail, specificity of movement, specificity of contraction, someone who can actually take you through and understand a little bit about what should be happening, as opposed to coming in and have a shit-kicking workout. So it's hard to find, and I really believe that anyone who goes to a gym with a new trainer, there should be, I usually dictate 3 to 4 weeks of learning of movements, because there's going to be so much more value in learning a movement first. So which is why anyone who comes to my programs, MI40 Foundation, MI40 Extreme, anything like that, HMAX, there's always a primer phase. There's a primer phase. And to be honest, I do primer phases at least two, sometimes three times a year. What's a primer phase? A primer phase is a phase of relearning movement patterns. So anytime you start with a trainer, there must be, unless you're a very experienced veteran, there must be a period of learning movement patterns. Learn proper execution for every movement. Now, this doesn't have to happen for your entire body. Some movements you're going to execute perfectly right away. So that's great. That would probably be the body parts known as your strengths, known to you as your strengths. You pick up a weight, you just get it. Your body understands how to do it. You can track those muscles well. Everybody has those. Most people have those body parts. There's no need to do a primer for those. For the body parts that are weaker, that don't develop well, that maybe you have an injury around, primers are absolutely necessary. So what do I think is necessary in a primer phase? Well, I've taught the six essentials of exercise. You guys want to find that stuff, it's on my website. The most important things are making sure the muscle you're trying to work is moving first, engaging first, and get it as short as possible and get strong in those ranges. So find a coach or a trainer who can intelligently teach you what that means. What does it mean to engage the working muscle first? Well, find a muscle in full length and position, engage it. What does it mean to get strong at a shortened range? Well, find a coach that can teach you that. So that's what I think is important for a coach. Someone who can talk to you on an intelligent level and is not a cheerleader per se. There may be an application, like I say, for a cheerleader or a drill sergeant, but learn movements first. And if someone can't teach you effective muscular contraction, you're wasting your time. Hard workouts are awesome sometimes. There's a reason why CrossFit is the biggest trend in the world right now, because people like the idea of effort. Effort is cool, but effort is not going to change your physique. Effort is not going to change your body necessarily, or it will, but it's going to build it in a imbalanced way, likely leading to injuries. Why is CrossFit the worst culprit in the world for generating injuries? Well, it's because it's all out effort with reckless regard. It's reckless. There's no regard for execution. We'll put an execution first, and then we can introduce effort. That's when the changes come, and that's why Mark's so effective and so great at what he does. Teach exercise execution first, and then we can start pushing effort.
So something and this will probably wrap this up, actually, is Ben always says, when someone asks you a question, what's normally the thing you say? What's the goal? what's the goal?
Right. So let me just tell you guys on here. If you're at home and you want to go and have a good workout, maybe CrossFit's the place for you.
Yeah.
Maybe if you want to go and just get beasted in the gym, the drill sergeant trainer's for you. But ask yourself, what's the goal? If the goal is to have a beach body, if your goal is to have a cover model body, if your goal is to bodybuild, if your goal is to have a physique at the end of your training process in the gym, you should be looking at building muscle.
Or even just to develop a weak body.
Or develop a weak body. Yeah. Your goal is actually to build muscle. So the goal is to build muscle and lose body fat, and therefore you've got to seek out somebody who can intelligently help you achieve that. As Ben just said, you know, Ben is a lot more advanced than a lot of coaches out there, a hell of a lot more advanced and experienced, and therefore he has a detailed way of explaining everything. But a very good skilled coach should be able to teach you how to build muscle and how to build weak body parts.
Here's the best thing, and this is my favorite part of this whole process. It's not difficult. It's just not common knowledge. And this is why I love what I do, and I'm a very passionate person. Some people take that the wrong way. But it's not difficult to teach intelligent exercise. It's really not. It's just not common sense. It's not common knowledge. It is common sense. It's not common knowledge because the fitness industry is so primitive in our knowledge. 50 years from now, this stuff is going to be, you're going to know it at 12 years old in primary school. But now it's just not common knowledge because nobody learns it. Nobody
also,
has learned it.
Also, it takes effort. And you know what? When I'm on the gym floor.
But it also just takes habit.
Yeah, but as a coach, what does it take to do an hour of coaching? It's training.
It's tough, right?
So what do most trainers want if they're doing 8 sessions a day? They want an easy workout. They want to just take a client through a workout, get it done, and get them gone. But you know what? If I've got 10 clients that I'm seeing, and we've got training sessions every day, just the same as my guy is doing the gym every day, every single client that we've got takes it out of you because every session's a planned session, every session's a detailed session, and every session's a coaching session, not a workout. And therefore, you know, to be a good coach, you've actually got to be prepared to learn and, you know, commit yourself to a lifelong journey of education, because if you're going to educate yourself, you're going to be able to transform a lot better people,
right,
and you're going to get better fat loss results. And, you know, you might have tuned into the podcast and thought, great, they're going to talk about fat loss. And you know what? There are that many seminars out there. We go fat loss, fat loss, fat loss. But how many people actually look different at the end of their fat loss journey?
Mm-hmm.
And this is a big thing that I'm going to spend the rest of the year doing a lot on, is actually how to help somebody build a transformation. And it's building a physique.
Right. Why do most people struggle with the fat loss?
Yeah.
Because they're focusing on the wrong things.
Exactly.
They're focusing on, well, how do I restrict my calories? Or how do I intelligently manipulate nutrients? Or how do I, what fat burn do I take? Or how much cardio do I do? And guess what? You get nowhere with your fat loss because you're focusing on the wrong things. And that's kind of the idea that hopefully Mark and I can start to create a paradigm shift around the fat loss. And I'm sure there's other people doing it, and I'd love to meet you if you are. So reach out to us if you're someone who's maybe taking a different approach to fat loss. And I'm sure there's lots of us out there, and that's why we like to collaborate and work together. But that's it, is, you know, maybe think outside the box and realize there's more to fat loss than restricting calories and doing cardio and, you know, be intelligent about it, think about it. And so that's it for me, man. Mark, anything else you want to add before we wrap up?
I just want to say this, okay? If I could tell anybody out there who hasn't got a trainer right now, who listens to this podcast and is thinking about fat loss, don't be frightened about the client your trainer talking about muscle.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be frightened about muscle. And Ben and I have talked about this for the last few weeks. You know, if there's something I can really make a difference in the fitness industry, is the fear of the word muscle, the fear of the building tissue. You know, it shouldn't be something you're frightened of. And I really hope everybody's got, you know, something from this podcast that you can go away and start implementing, or it can challenge your thought process that you start looking elsewhere to become better at what you do.
Right. So, guys, train more like women. That's a Nick Mitchell quote. Because women tend to slow down and be more controlled, and control is the currency for growth. So I suggest that you guys slow down, be meticulous with your execution and your control. And ladies, don't be afraid to build muscle. And that's it. Even if you want to look like a skinny model, if you want to get leaner and not have skinny fat, you still have to learn to control and build muscle. There's no such thing as toning. It doesn't exist. Toning is building. So open your mind, get outside the box, stop believing all the BS you hear on the internet, and
best of luck to you on your fitness journey. Ben Pakulski, muscle expert.
Mark Coles, physique coach.
Posse out. Talk to you guys soon.
See you.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Stay connected on Facebook / IFBB Ben PAK fan page, on Twitter at IFBB Ben PAK, and of course, BenPakulski.com.